Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
By BetMGM, I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. And on the menu for the next hour, we'll start with Thursday Night Football, our best bets in Raiders and Broncos. It's 7:20. Mike Vrabel has been triggering moms everywhere, and not in a good way. You have to hear this quote that he had about the trade deadline. Then at 7:40, we get on to our Survivor plays, which, boy, was it a bloodbath this past week. chaos reigns supreme. Hopefully not the case this week in the National Football League. So, Jenks, I was just thinking to myself, okay, Thursday Night Football, that is on Prime. So luckily, I get to watch it without having to go to a pirated site. Do you like the broadcast on Prime? Because I know that sometimes we go in the weeds with like, hey, you know, we like the broadcast crew. They do a great job from like a technical standpoint. Do you like the crew that they have on Prime with like Carissa Thompson? They have Ryan Fitzpatrick, Richard Sherman, Tony Gonzalez. Is this one of your favorite broadcasts? Or is it just, it'll suffice. It's not my favorite, but it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel about it. It'll suffice. It's fine. It's cleanly produced. It looks good. You've got different voices on there, but it's very cookie cutter to me, which is okay. Let's get, and look, at the highest levels, you're always going to get something that is clean and something that is professional. So it's just a matter of, do you have the great chemistry? Do you have these incredible segments? And I don't necessarily see that. I see something that is just fine for Thursday Night Football. But I don't particularly think some of the analysis is great. I think some of it is hot take-ish without really any thought. I got really turned off by the whole Russell Wilson thing. I'm like, listen, if you guys are going to sit here and just air grievances personally, then, you know, put that on X. You know, I understand it. And if it's a real take that I think has some, you know, has some sort of significance to it and grounding to it, sure. But if it's just like nonsense, it's like, okay, I don't know what we're doing here. If we're going to give someone a platform just to go off because they don't like somebody, then that kind of takes away from the broadcast for me. But overall, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine as well. But I do think it's missing like a big personality. Because, like, you think of these broadcasts and the ones that you really love, like, think about inside the NBA, and it's the personalities that make it. Like, of course, they have the high-level analysis, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's entertainment. So I just feel like the broadcast on Prime, like, the guys are great. It just, there's no personality hire. So I don't know who they would get to fit that mold, but it's just, it could be anybody who used to play in the NFL. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, right. And here's the thing. That's what I say, what I mean when I say cookie cutter, which is, look, Chris has done a great job for a long time. And certainly if you look at Whitworth or you look at Richard Sherman or Gonzalez, like all these guys that they have, a lot of times the idea is, okay, we'll get this person has a look, this person has a background, this person did this. And if we put them together, like on paper, this will be great and it will be fine. But a lot of times it lacks that natural chemistry. And there are times, too, it takes time to develop. So when you're putting together a crew for the first time, you know, that could actually grow over time. But I've always said that if you're looking for a great broadcast team, particularly if you're talking about being on the desk, then go with chemistry first. Any other polish can be learned. You know, learning analysis or learning how to, you know, basically craft your response or say, all right, this is how you turn to the camera. This is maybe how long you need to go, or maybe this needs to be tightened up a little bit, or, you know, kind of the logistics of it all, or maybe working on your answers. That can be pulled out pretty easily over time and worked on, but natural chemistry is really hard to replicate, and it's really hard to teach. Sometimes you either have it or you don't. It's kind of like dating sometimes, you know? You can like someone and say, wow, you know, you have all of these different things that are so great and you're going to be a catch for someone, but there's just on paper, you're awesome, but there's something missing here. Chemistry is really hard to develop.
Right. And it's crazy to me that I feel like Tom Brady's a good example of this, where like nobody knows more about football than him.
Right.
You know, nobody is questioning that. It's just people label him as like stiff and rehearsed. And I think it's because he wants to do such a good job that sometimes he just needs to let loose. So I don't know who like a great addition would be. Like, I think Jason Kelsey's one of the up and comers when it comes to like personality hires, because it is a tough role to fill and there's not many of those guys. They don't grow on trees. So I'm not saying that Prime should have hired somebody else. I'm just saying like that's the one thing that kind of sticks with me, is that it just feels like they don't have a personality hire. I know they try to make like Ryan Fitzpatrick like flamboyant sometimes. They're like, look, he has his shirt off. And it's like, okay, that's not a personality.
that's what I mean. Like you're forcing it a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where if it's natural and it kind of comes, or, you know, as part of, hey, this is who you are. I feel like they did this with McAfee on Game Day a little bit, somewhat, even though Game Day I think is much better overall. I mean, they have more experience there, and being on the campus provides, you know, a bit of a different feel, a lot of a different feel, actually. But it's almost like you can feel the producers sitting in a room and saying, okay, at the end of this game, how about you pull open your shirt and you show off your, you know what I mean? You can almost see it behind the scenes before it plays out in front of you.
Yeah, it's too produced, like as opposed to just letting things flow naturally.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe they prove me wrong tonight, and maybe it's the funniest broadcast you've ever seen. So tonight's menu, we've got the Raiders and the Broncos squaring off. Denver, 9-point home favorites, total of 42.5. You could go the prop route in this one. I know one of the plays that caught my eye initially, because of the trade deadline, Brock Bowers, I think, is in store for a big night as far as targets go, because Jacoby Myers is gone. And Chip Kelly said that multiple guys are going to have to fill the role of what he had, the role he had on the offense. So Brock Bowers, best player on the team, over 5.5 catches. It's pretty juicy, though. It's -160. So I'm going to have to find another way to play that. But from a side standpoint, and Jenks, I feel like usually we are usually pretty hesitant to pick sides when it comes to a 9-point spread, because that's a lot of points in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Raiders, not a good football team. The Broncos have a great defense. But we've seen the Broncos kind of play down to the level of their competition some this year.
Yeah.
So would you take the 9 points? Are you playing a side here?
I think I'm going to lay the 9. I think I'm going to do it.
Ah.
I just, believe it or not, we're seeing 9.5 in some spots. The Raiders are just so bad, and of course it's number dependent, so you can say, yeah, I know, but can they stay within 9? I just don't know if they can, because their defense is so bad. Like, they've allowed at least 25 points in 5 of their last 6 games. Now you got the Broncos coming in, and also the Raiders are coming off that game against Jacksonville, where that was a really hard-fought game, went to overtime, Jags won in OT, so that's just one of those that just takes the air out of you, where you're probably a little more beat up than you would be otherwise. I know it's just an extra quarter or half quarter of football, but those things matter in the NFL. It's like playing on a short week. It may not seem like a big deal, but an extra quarter of football, an extra couple days of rest in such a violent game, that's huge. And so when I look at the Raiders, I'm also trying to figure out how they're going to score. How are they going to score against Broncos defense, which is a top 5 defense? Geno Smith has not been good this season, and I like Geno a lot.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I love his story. There's a reason why the Raiders traded for him, so he could work with Pete Carroll again, but he leads the league in interceptions, and so that's a bad omen against this Broncos secondary. I think Denver finds a way to cover.
Yeah, I think you either do that or you separate and isolate the fact that you think the Raiders aren't going to score many points. Mm-hmm. So you can go team total for the Raiders under 16.5. I wish it was 17, but that's -175. Under 16.5 is -125. I think that is a solid play. Or you can go first half. Their first half total is 9.5. So I think, especially from the jump, when you're still reeling to make up for what Jacoby Myers brought to this offense, especially against this Broncos defense, it's been so, so good. Because I remember going into that game against the Cowboys, I said to myself, okay, the Cowboys have a really good offense. if there's anybody who can maybe, you know, keep up with this Broncos defense, it's the Cowboys. The Broncos shut them down. I know that the Cowboys scored 24 points, but most of it in garbage time. The Broncos put up a 44 spot. So I think these are like complementary bets where I think both could probably happen, where the Broncos cover the 9 and the Raiders don't score too much. But if you are worried about laying a big number, maybe go team totals when it comes to the Raiders. From a prop standpoint, like I mentioned, Brock Bowers, that's the one that just kind of got my first glance here. Is there anything else that you saw where you're like, hey, that's kind of interesting?
I am going to put together a small parlay, I think, here. So I wanted to get Geno Smith to throw an interception because he's been so bad this year. He's thrown a pick in 7 of 9 games. I think he's going to throw a pick tonight. So look at the total. It's a lower total, 43. But I feel like if you're the Raiders, you are going to be playing from behind. And look, let's be honest about what we've seen from Vegas. There's a reason why Ashton Jeanty has not really broken out this year. That Raiders offensive line is so bad. Like, they can't run. Geno gets no pass protection. So I feel like Vegas is going to be playing from behind against the Broncos, which means Geno's going to be throwing the ball against a ton of pressure. Like, Benito's going to be all over him, and he's probably going to throw it into traffic. It's probably going to get picked off. You take that in Broncos money line, it's minus 109. That's definitely a play for me.
Ooh, I like that. Another way to kind of play the game script here is sometimes you look at the quarterback for the team that you think is going to win, and you hit their passing attempts under. So the line is set at 33.5 for Bo Nix. I don't think they need to throw the ball for most of this game. And we've even seen him go under this number in a lot of games this season. So he's gone under it in 2 of 5. But remember, some of these games, I feel like, have skewed his averages. Like, remember that back and forth affair between the Broncos and the Giants that ended 33-32? He threw the ball 50 times. But that's not the game script that I'm really expecting here. I'm expecting a slower pace game and more of kind of what we saw in that game against the Texans, where it was 18-15 final score. So you could go that route for Bo Nix. He's also somebody who's kind of crafty with his legs, rushed for 36 yards last game. But again, when we talk about games that could get out of hand, those are games that I don't really love quarterback rushing props, simply because why would you risk your body if you're winning a game by double digits? So I don't know. I feel like Brock Bowers is still the better one. I just saw where that one turned to 6.5. So it was 5.5 yesterday as far as catches go. Now it is 6.5 juiced to the under. But if you like the over, it's plus 105. Or you could go receiving yards. It's 64.5. Because here's the thing. It is a very tough defensive matchup against the Broncos, but the targets are going to be there for Brock Bowers. He's the best player on their team. Geno Smith knows this. And when you lose somebody like Jakobi Meyers, those targets have to go somewhere. So granted, it's tough to buy a stock when it's at its highest. Brock Bowers coming off a 12-catch game for 127 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's probably not going to happen again because the defensive matchup is much tougher than when you go against the Jaguars. But still, I think the opportunity is probably going to be there. So I think that's why I originally started with catches, because I don't know how many yards after the catch he's going to get. But he's also one of the yards after catch masters in the NFL. So maybe he is the cheat code to at least get you your props against the Denver Broncos. So I think that is the one player that I kind of circled here. What about a total, Jenks? 43 feels pretty low, but if anybody can stifle, you know, the Raiders' offense, it's certainly the Broncos. It's just how many points are the Broncos going to score?
Oh, that's going to be like a 28-10 game, 28-13. Any under hits? Is my math correct? I think it is. Just like right there. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
You might want to look at, honestly, a Broncos team total. I think it's at 26 and a hook. And I mentioned the Raiders have given up at least 25 in 5 of 6 games. So I think the Broncos can get to 27, 28 against the Raiders, especially on the turf. Tend to get a few more points. I know it's a short week. So that's something I would look at as well if you like Denver, and I like Denver in this game. I think there's a lot of ways to actually bet this game. I know it's not the most exciting matchup, even though it's the Raiders, but there's a lot of different props that I like. I mentioned that Geno Smith interception prop. You can put some things together here, but I like Broncos team total as well.
It should be noted, I believe this game is in Denver.
Oh, is it? Oh, I got that wrong.
Not going to be turf. It will be a little chilly. But still, the Raiders' defense equals bad. So I see where you're going there. It's hard for me to trust Bo Nix because he's been kind of inconsistent this year. So I can see it happening, but I think there's other ways to play it. All right, coming up next, we got to talk about Mike Vrabel and this quote he had about the trade deadline. I'm not going to lie, I was a little triggered. You got to hear it. It's next on the Daily Tip.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.